From WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio, this is the Chancellor's Report, featuring Mark Mone, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. Here's your host, Dave Edwards.
We're back with the Chancellor's Report. The Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, Mark Mone, is our guest. Welcome back to the program.
Thanks, Dave. Great to be here.
Yeah, and so much is going on, and we have a lot to cover in this next half hour. First of all, I know that the university, UWM, publicly launched its major fundraising campaign, a very ambitious campaign.
It is hugely ambitious. Thanks for asking about that, Dave. It's in our history, our 61 years as UW-Milwaukee, it's twice as large as our previous campaign goal, which itself was at that time $100 million. We raised $125. Well, we've surpassed that. We were able to announce on Monday night we've achieved $170 million in fundraising, and we're well on our path now of our new goal of $200 million. So it's very ambitious. It's bold. But it's also something that really helps support our students, underwrite the research, and give the necessary support that we need for that, as well as our ability to engage in the community and make a bigger difference. So It's all great momentum, and it was a wonderful event.
Because I play around in fundraising a little bit, I kind of know that anytime you announce a goal like that, it is challenging, and especially a goal that is significantly larger than what the university has raised in the past. There seems to be now more institutions raising money. There's more campaigns that are out there. So isn't it a little bit risky to try to set a new record right now in fundraising?
Well, you know, the good news is we have such momentum, and we've got a lot of headway that we're so close to the $200 million in the bigger scheme of things. So we think that with the momentum that we've got, with the pledges and discussions underway, we think that is going to give us the tailwind that we need. To your point, though, about the other campaigns that are out there, I think that there are at least 8 to 10 major campaigns. Some of our development staff say if you include some of the smaller ones, there's as many as 15 different campaigns that are out there that have just started. So a lot of those are in the quiet phase. A lot of those are you know, they're doing their exploratory work. We're at the finishing stages, if you will, in the sense of the number of years we've been at this and now where we'll go. So I think I feel reasonably comfortable. I wouldn't have basically thought about it at this level if I didn't feel that we've got enough good things underway. Of course, we want to hit that. We'd like to go beyond it. But as I think about the needs and I think about the importance of this institution, and frankly, also thinking ahead about our next campaign, which, don't worry, won't start.
They never stop. Come on. Let's be honest.
But thinking about that, you know, we doubled this one. Does that mean as we look forward, you know, what's the expectation? Yeah. And I don't even want to hazard a guess. That's going to require some careful study. But I have to tell you again, you know, as I think about the people who have been in this community and really as alumni and other individuals who recognize the importance of UWM, I could not be more grateful for their support and the leadership that we have at our campaign cabinet level. We've got just remarkable people helping put this together, from Mary and Ted Kellner to Shell and Marianne Lubar. We've got Mike and Sheila Falbo, the number of individuals who are involved, Gail Clappa, Beth and John Pritchard, Jim Zimmer and Yvonne, so as well as Doug Hagerman. So great individuals helping lead this, stalwarts in the community. They've really stepped up and brought a lot of others along with them. And I think that's recognizing the role that we play and where our students go and the contributions that they make, as well as our faculty research.
The campaign staff have been working on this, as you suggest, in the semi-quiet phase for some time, and you're emerging now as you've gone public with some pretty significant gifts already committed.
Yeah, we have the $10 million from the Lubars that was matched by UW System funds for the Lubar Entrepreneurship Center. The $5 million from the Kelvin Foundation really helps with both our business school as well as our School of Education. On Monday night, I was able to announce, when we had the campaign launch, I was able to announce from the Rockwell Corporation, Rockwell Automation, $1.7 million support for our Connected Systems Institute that Microsoft has also stepped up and put some of their support behind. We anticipate a number of other companies. In fact, we're visiting tomorrow another leading organization, senior leadership. So there's lots and lots of companies that we think are going to be very interested in the Internet of Things, connectivity, Industry 4.0, a lot of different pieces that are another part of the campaign.
So this is in the fundraising parlance, this has been called a comprehensive campaign, recognizing that dollars that are normally coming in are in fact being committed to the university and part of this effort. But of the new dollars that are coming in, what does this allow UWM to do?
It enables us to have, first and foremost, more support for our students because it grows our endowment. And our students, more than anything else, and I think this is true in most higher education institutions today, the financial hardships are so dramatically different. Cost of college, and for us, you know, I have to tell you a really interesting example, something that occurred today. As much as the cost of college is, we have an accreditation team that came in today, and there was a colleague from another university across the state, across the pond, across Lake Michigan. She's over in Michigan, and she said, you know what? You have been able to recruit students away from us because in our area there's 56 accredited programs and your costs are more affordable than a lot of others because as state budgets have been cut and tuition has increased, yours is now very cost competitive. And so this is one of the advantages of you know, how we have that standpoint. We all want to keep the cost affordable, and I've said it before on this show. You know, college tuition is but one portion. A lot of the cost of college is how long you're in college.
Yeah.
And if you can't get the classes and if my budget is cut and I can't staff the courses, I can't provide the good advising, then it's harder to get students through on time. So I continue to look at the total cost and I say, boy, the faster you get into the workforce, that's the best way. You know, it's the most important thing for college attendance is to get you great quality of education, but get you graduated. Get you, you know, that's the core. So we think that that's a big piece, helping with college tuition. The second component is as a Research One institution wanting to continue to build on that momentum. And so this enables us to have summer support for faculty, for graduate students, for being able to do more work in labs, being able to have commitments for people who want to support different things. We recently received a commitment. It's not formal yet, but a verbal commitment, a pledge for some of the work at our School of Freshwater Science. You know, and that, when you're talking about seven-figure gifts, that's going to enable us to do things that we otherwise would not be able to do.
Mm-hmm. So let's talk about another pot of money, if you will, a very important piece, and that's the state budget, which has finally been signed. And in the last couple of months on this program, we've been talking about how you were hopeful that nothing would be changed at the last minute and it would be a good budget for UWM. Did that happen, in fact?
It did, and we're delighted. And I have to thank all our supporters. I want to thank the legislature, the governor, for understanding, really seeing how UW system is important and really an economic engine for the state. The pieces that are in particular valuable for UWM is the capital budget side, support for the Northwest Quad, formerly Columbia St. Mary's, the Sandberg Tower renovation, and the fact that there are all agency funds that will be available for some of the other projects that we need in terms of the short term. On the operating budget, the biggest news, the most important thing, is the ability for us to have compensation merit increases for faculty and staff that have not had them in more than a decade. So we've really fallen behind. We've talked about that, mm-hmm. and, you know, our standing. So this won't make up for that. For that decade without raises, but it does really give us an opportunity to start to narrow that gap a little bit. And there's also been and will be coming soon some additional support from UW system around some of the new base budget funds. So there's some very good news on the financial fronts for this budget. Really pleased.
So, now that the ink has dried on the budget, I mean, what are you feeling about this performance funding? Because there was this whole other pot of money that was going to be sort of at play based upon performance metrics. On a previous show, when you and Assistant President Ray Cross were here, you know, I think I detected a little of concern about the way those metrics were being sort of decided and set?
So at that time, and what we've been hoping for and the way this has been evolving in terms of the discussion between the regents, the legislature, and system, is that there are different buckets, different categories, if you will, around performance funding that we know future funding will be premised on. And that's the way several states have moved, not always with great success, but there is something that's very appealing about accountability that we all like. And I will say, first and foremost, straight out, I have no problems. I welcome the opportunity to demonstrate our progress on measurable objective indicators. The latest twist, the latest development in the way the metrics have evolved is that campuses were going to be able to choose from within these different categories around student outcomes, efficiency measures, workforce alignment, where we were going to choose a growth goal and a maintenance goal, something that we really want to make sure we maintain. That has all been pretty much swept aside, and we're all going to be evaluated on the same dimensions, which is fine, but what I continue to maintain is compare me to peer institutions. UW-Milwaukee is the only campus in the state that has a research and access mission. We serve 26,000 students who largely come from Wisconsin. There's no other school, there's no other institution in the state that has that type of makeup. And so the students who are here, the mission that we have is quite different than a Green Bay or a Madison or name the other school. We're all a little bit different. We all have different peer institutions. Compare me to those urban institutions that are research-oriented, that have an access mission, and I will happily compete for that. So that's right now still being determined. What are the exact metrics, and how wide will that bucket be in terms of all the different areas?
So one of the challenges that still exists in the budget is the tuition freeze, which continues. How much of a problem is that now in light of the way the budget is structured?
You know, the reality of a tuition freeze is that it's a budget cut because costs continue to go up. And we've been dealing with that. We've been getting leaner. We've been forcing you know, areas to do more with less as we continue to want to keep the quality up, and as a research one institution, a Carnegie engaged university, all those things to continue to provide that. So that will continue to be a challenge, keeping in mind our desire to keep costs as affordable as possible. So I think that students and parents welcome that, but to the extent that it makes it difficult for us to do what we need to do, and I do need to also, you know, reinforce the idea that UW system has had, you know, over the last decade, a fair amount of cuts, and previously it was allowed to raise tuition to offset those, and so budgets could stay whole. But as the budget cuts in previous budgets had continued, that tuition freeze was really, really damaging and challenging. So, you know, I do have to say, you know, there's still some tough decisions in front of us. We haven't gotten all our balanced budgets in place the way we'd like them to be, but we're pretty close compared to...
So this new money is not making you whole from where the university was 5, 6, 10 years ago.
Correct. Right.
Now, as we just discussed the campaign, you know, setting this huge goal and being along the way of making it, that is kind of the new reality now for most institutions of higher learning. Is there some concern that the success of those kind of campaigns signals then to lawmakers and the general public, well, look, if they're raising all that money, then we don't have to cough up the money that it takes from the state dollars to sustain the university operation?
Well, you could juxtapose that and say, in a way, what we've become is more private because we have to have, you know, large campaigns, and there's less support from the state for our operating budget than there had been before. But the response I think that's important to recognize is that our campaign, as large as it is in the history of UWM, is still fairly modest. Mm-hmm. And what I mean by that is that when you have a commitment for any particular dollar amount, that may be a pledge that's over 5 years or longer, or it may be a planned gift. And so I might give you my life insurance policy or a portion of it, or it might be part of my will or my estate. But I'm a young guy. Mm-hmm. You know, it may be 10, 20, 30 years or more before that's realized. Mm-hmm. So also, there's the endowment portion of that. Much of that is an endowment. So if we have an endowment that is $200 million total all in at the end of you know, all our previous campaigns, because some of it is a direct pass-through for tuition scholarships, but a lot of that is an endowment, that generates 4% return. So you're not going to get a lot of help for a base budget on the types of endowments and the types of fundraising campaigns. Now, if it were a $3 or $5 or $10 billion campaign, that would be different. All that said, we absolutely need to have the public support. We need to have the types of you know, in terms of from the state, that type of support. We need to have the philanthropic work. But the other thing that's going to make a difference in any institution of higher ed today is the partnerships. And it's those partnerships, it's the types of collaborative work that we do in the healthcare field, it's the kind of work we do in corporate sectors, it's the work we're doing with dance studios and architectural firms. It's that partnership work that really is our future. Mm-hmm. And we can't do it alone. And I said this in my plenary last week, but with our partners, we can accomplish a tremendous amount. But again, I bow and just absolutely salute the supporters and people who've believed in UWM and have really got it and help make us happen.
The budget may be done, but the Foxconn deal is not quite done as we are recording this program. You've committed or sort of pledged, I guess we could say, that UWM would be a player in terms of creating the workforce that's necessary to support a Foxconn or any other major corporate initiative. Does that pledge kind of create more difficulties for you as you're figuring out your budget? Because in order to turn out that many more new graduates, that will be a draw on the budget.
It can in the short term. There's no question about that. And we would hope that we would get some assistance. We would hope that we can position ourselves to be seen as the engineering, technology, industry talent provider from a regional perspective, working with partners, working with other UW institutions, working with area, especially the technical colleges, the gateways, the MATCs, WCTC. Those are pathways that this is accelerating. And, you know, independent of Foxconn, we really should have been doing some of this work before. So this is really bringing us together in important ways. But look at it this way, Dave, if more people come to Wisconsin and more students come to UW-Milwaukee, I get great, you know, enrollment revenue that's going to help me in terms of the faculty and the lab work, the advisors. So I get more revenues there. But I do think that in the context of helping prepare for a region that's got better educated workers, what's wrong with that? I mean, that's really what our business is about. We want to keep the talent from Wisconsin, developed in Wisconsin, and there's a lot to be said for the research potential, which would bring in, again, is that partnership. If we look at what GE, Johnson Controls, Astronautics, a number of companies in this area with whom we work, they support our centers, our institutes. It's that type of work that I could absolutely see a lot of additional work being done where you get that type of support. So if it were just a net loss, I wouldn't think that would be mm-hmm. a good deal, but the way I see this is absolutely mutually beneficial.
Mark Mone, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, is our guest in conversation. So we got a little bit of a clearer picture on the state budget, but the federal budget is still kind of in flux. What does that mean? What are the challenges? What are you following there?
So some of the things that were originally proposed by the Trump administration had been looked at a little differently in the House, where they have largely rejected some of the cuts to the science programs. Those cuts at one point had been about 17% to research budgets, and having just achieved Research One standing, top 115 universities out of 4,665 last year, that would be, it might sound hyperbolic, but devastating to us because we just barely got in there, mm-hmm. you know, and you're on this balancing point. And so for federal research funds to be cut, that would be a huge challenge. So we're comforted in that sense. But that said, the Senate still has to weigh in on this. You know, one of the big areas that I want to stress is that it's not research for research sake. It's research that matters when we talk about drug discovery, new cancer treatment, new Alzheimer's disease prevention, new ways to study pollution, new ways to develop self-healing turbine blades for wind vanes, new roadway construction materials that get roads to last 100 years instead of the useful life of 20 or 25. On and on and on. That's what is inhibited if we don't have some of the continued infusion of resources. So we hope that the federal budget continues to get through the Senate in the way that it did through the House. Of notable concern for our students is where the Perkins Loan stands today. Perkins Loan is a program that has enabled across the system a tremendous number of our students to qualify for low-interest loans and loans that can get deferred until graduation occurs. And if that program stops, that pretty quickly disables students from being able to attend not just UWM, but a lot of other UW system institutions as well as other campuses.
So that is a big deal, especially for UWM.
It's particularly important for us because of our student, with an access mission. We have students that are first generation, students that haven't saved up as much money and incomes aren't as high.
Yeah. So you mentioned your plenary, your State of the University address to the campus community that you did just recently. And I know part of that where you I don't know if you call it the reality check, but you stressed some really important things, some things that we've talked about in the show before, and that's the demographics that you're facing. For all the good work you're doing that, there just aren't enough kids growing up who are of college age.
Yeah. How does the college bubble end? Is the name of an article in the Atlantic last month, and they underscored the same point: we're running out of teenagers.
Lord,
I will tell you. I will tell you. And as we talk about this, you mentioned earlier the regional workforce development work that's going on. We share data from MRA, and some folks at Manpower have shared this, and we're sharing this with employers. And the growth in this area over 94.7% of the growth from 2010 to 2040 will be in age 65 and above. Mm-hmm. Let me say that a little bit differently. Less than 0.5% of the growth in the next 30 years in this region is going to be for 18 to 64-year-olds. Mm-hmm. It's amazing to think about what's going to happen demographically. Some argue demography is destiny. I don't know if I buy into that entirely. We can change certain things, but generally speaking, in certain businesses and certain organizations where your audience comes from is very much demographically driven. So in that sense, the fact that our freshman enrollment are up, the fact that our students of color enrollment is up, there's a number of things that are looking good for us long term. Overall enrollment is still down a little bit because previous classes were smaller, but demography is big. And so UW system chancellors, when we were together on Friday, we had a system-wide meeting. This was a huge topic of conversation. It's very much something that's front of our mind as we're planning, no matter what your major is, where are you going to grow those areas and what are we going to do given those demographics?
Well, because if 85% of your budget is driven by tuition dollars, which is what we're really talking about here, how do you plan for that? Because it seems like the worst of your financial problems may still be on the horizon.
Well, the good news is for us that, when we peaked in 2010, when high school graduations peaked in 2010, yeah, and the state has declined since then, 1,200 fewer high school students roughly per year, every year, then the question is, are we all going to be smaller, more focused, and shrink, or do we continue to collaborate in different areas and we look for those continuing efficiencies? Things are not going to decline necessarily that precipitously, but they're not going to grow in any measurable way for the foreseeable future. And when I say foreseeable, I'm talking a long way out there. So I think we're going to have to be better at what we do. We're going to have to be sharper. We're going to have to continue to appeal to international students and out-of-state residents. And we've got some great advantages there, especially with our reputation increases that we've had and some of the campaigns that are underway.
It's only October, but do you have a sense of what your fall enrollments might be looking like?
Things look actually very good for fall enrollments in terms of both applications and admissions this far. We're trending really strong, and I don't want to jinx it, by talking too much about that. But we're really, I think in terms of the work that our Chancellor's Enrollment Management Action Team has been pursuing in terms of really being more specific and targeting the message, better recruitment activities, more closely aligned with advisors, getting better social media out there. So we're doing a lot of things to sharpen our impact. But things look good for fall 2018.
Is that across the board? I mean, is that undergraduate, graduate?
Right now, I can just tell you the tracking is undergraduate. I don't know about the other areas.
Mm-hmm. Are you watching with great interest the number of international students that are expressing an interest? I mean, because of all that's going on in the world about China and who's standing with America these days, is that impacting enrollments?
Well, I can tell you after the initial executive orders, campuses across the country, and I was nationally with a number of different chancellors and presidents at national conferences, and we had deans at education, engineering, and business conferences that I immediately consulted with because they had just gone. It was anticipated that enrollments would drop as much as 25% to 35% at schools across the country, international enrollments. As it turns out, some campuses have had 10% to 20% enrollment declines in a year. We're very fortunate that we've only And this sounds a little unusual, but we're only down about 2.5% overall this fall compared to where we were last fall. Now, in an era when for the previous decade we've been growing, if you look at it that way, that's not healthy. We hope this continues, that we keep those numbers up. But that's an important part of our enrollment and budget strategy, is to grow out of state and international. So we're a little concerned about this, more than a little concerned about this.
So I've been hitting you with the hard topics. We got a couple of minutes left. What other fun things have you been involved in during the month of September?
Well, I just came back late last night. I know we just began October, but I was out in Boulder, Colorado, visiting my daughter. I'm still trying to reel her in to become a Panther. And maybe I suspect she may have grad school here in her future.
Oh.
But we'll see. I don't want to overcommit on that.
Don't want to jinx that either.
But I did in September the Peninsula Fall Challenge, which was a wonderful bike ride to go on, and been doing some limited cooking and limited reading, but enjoying little bits here and there.
Yeah, well, that's good. So you're still doing quite a bit of traveling representing the university.
Yeah, we were in Washington, D.C. That was a real highlight in terms of alumni events. We had something. We went down for Milwaukee night with MMAC's group, and then we had a separate dinner that night, and people were telling incredible stories about their time. And they said things like, everything that I've become in my life is attributable to UWM, and just these remarkable quotes, and then testimonies where they gave examples and talked about that inflection point, and really talked with great pride about why they continue to support UWM the way that they do, what a differentiator it is. So these are individuals like somebody, Louis Arriaga, who's going to Guatemala as the U.S. ambassador, individuals who've been attorneys for 25 years with EPA, and major. Leading Department of Energy and other officials in Washington that have their roots at UWM. So neat to be able to hear that. So the travel continues, and many more trips on the horizon.
Yeah, you should have much more time for reading on those planes, though. and wait, you're a chef, and you said only a limited amount of cooking?
Well, I did a little Thai curry, sweet potato. That's one of my favorites, with some jasmine rice. But amazingly, it seems like I only get into that kitchen at most once a week, and sometimes I have to wait a couple of weeks to really be able to get my hands in. So I'm getting rusty, Dave.
You need more cooking therapy.
Yeah, that's what it is. That's what it is.
There you go. Well, we're out of time, but once again, thank you for joining us.
Thank you, Dave. Appreciate all you do.
Mark Mone, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. I'm Dave Edwards.
You've been listening to The Chancellor's Report, featuring Mark Mone, Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. If you would like more information, go to uwm.edu/chancellor.